It's Luke 22, verse 54-62. And it's entitled, Peter Disowns Jesus. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, This man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And then it's Luke chapter 9, verse 23-26. Then he said to them all, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. And in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's holiday season. We're slightly thin in the ground. And I was thinking, as I was preparing this sermon, about when our family, when I was a kid, went abroad on holiday for the first time. I was 12. It was the first time I'd ever been out of the United Kingdom. And we went to Paris as a family, and we stayed in this little hotel on the west, or the left bank, and we did loads and loads of sightseeing. And my sister, Diana, she was aged 14, a couple of years older than me. When we were walking along the streets in Paris, Diana insisted on walking about 10 yards behind the rest of the family. I don't tell her I told you this, but she didn't want to be seen with us. She was embarrassed by us. I'm not with them. That was a message. I don't belong to them. Quite upset my mother, and it quite annoyed her too. Diana was more concerned about what strangers in the street in Paris thought than about what her parents thought. She wanted to be independent. She wanted to be grown up. She wanted to be free, and she just tried to disown the rest of us. She was, I guess, basically, she was ashamed of us. She didn't want to be seen with us. Well, what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, is all about shame. That's the hard saying of Jesus we're looking at. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Living in the Western world, I don't think we just think a great deal about shame. Not as much as many other cultures do anyway. Our culture, whether we actually talk much about it these days, our culture is deeply rooted historically in a belief in a God who sees everything we do, and a belief that we'll finally be held accountable to God for how we've lived our lives and the things we've said and done. We've been given the Ten Commandments. We've been told what's right and wrong. We have a conscience, and deep down, we know how we ought to live. And when we do something wrong, we feel guilty. That's the sort of backdrop to Western society. In many parts of the world, particularly in the East, it's different. People think differently, like there's no personal God watching how you live. The Chinese have a saying, Tian Gao Huang Di Yuan. I think that's how it's pronounced. But it means heaven is high and the emperor is far away. In other words, don't worry too much. about living according to laws and regulations. It's not really a problem. Unless, of course, you get caught. That would be awkward. That would be bad luck. You might get punished. But what's more important, if you're found out, it's shameful. You're going to lose face. That's what matters. It's shameful. And that's the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is what we experience when we do something we know to be wrong. And shame is what we feel when we don't live up to the expectations of others, the regret, the embarrassment when we mess up. So if you like, guilt is vertical. It's about our standing before God. And shame is horizontal. It's about our standing in the community with other people. And the first century culture for the Jews was very much a shame culture. In a shame culture, if you incur shame, that means being rejected, being excluded, being treated as an outsider. That's what it means. So when Jesus says here, if anyone is ashamed of me, that's what he's saying. If anyone leaves me out, if anyone excludes me, it's about not talking about Jesus. It's about not telling others about Jesus. It's about keeping my relationship with Jesus a secret, walking 10 yards behind Jesus. I'm not with him. I don't belong to him. Well, of course, some people want to say, my faith is a private thing. It's a personal thing. My faith is just between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible simply doesn't recognize privatized Christianity. Privatized Christianity just isn't a category in the Bible at all. Christianity is not about me and my convenience. It's about Jesus. Christianity isn't about my reputation. It's about Jesus and his reputation. Christianity isn't walking 10 yards behind Jesus and keeping your head down. Christianity is walking with Jesus, whatever that turns out to mean. So as we read Jesus' words, we need to ask this, I think. Why would I be ashamed of Jesus? Why? Why would I be ashamed of Jesus? And I don't think, if we're honest, that any of us has to think just too very hard to remember times when we wanted to keep quiet about our Christian faith. Jonathan's already mentioned his experience of that as we started the service, hasn't he? Why? Why would I be ashamed of Jesus? Well, it might be because I'm afraid. It might be because I'm afraid. Afraid to be identified with Jesus. Maybe afraid of persecution. That was Peter's situation when Jesus was arrested. We just read about it. He denied his relationship with Jesus. I don't know him. Are you one of them? No, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what Peter said. He was afraid of persecution, and it made him ashamed of Jesus. Peter saw what was happening to Jesus, and he was frightened that the same thing might be going to happen to him. I'm not with him. I don't belong to him. I'm just a spectator. Peter wanted to walk 10 yards behind, disowning Jesus. The word in the New Testament for witness is the Greek word martyr. And we recognize the word martyr. So in the early church, if you identified yourself as a Christian, often it would end up in persecution, perhaps even death, martyrdom. So people had good reason to be frightened of being witnesses for Jesus. And that's still the situation for believers in many parts of the world today. It's estimated, surprised me to read this, it's estimated that 300,000 Christians a year were put to death for their faith in the 20th century. 300,000 a year. If they'd kept quiet, maybe they'd have escaped that. Well, that's not our situation in the United Kingdom. At least, it isn't just now. Who knows what will happen in the future? But we have to face up to the fact it is becoming more difficult to be a Christian in Britain. It's becoming less acceptable, less welcome to say you belong to Jesus. What are we afraid of? Why are we ashamed of Jesus? Well, if not afraid of outright persecution, maybe afraid of rejection, maybe afraid of derision. Deep down, we want to be like other people, don't we? We want to be part of the crowd deep down. Jesus said in John's Gospel, it's recorded for us, Jesus said to his disciples, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, the world has a different version of that, which says something like this: "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you odd." And we don't want to be odd, do we? We want to be like other people. Someone has said, in a world where everyone walks in his hands, the man who walks in his feet will be called a clown. And we don't want to be clowns. Who wants to be called a clown? Better to walk 10 yards behind Jesus. The temptation is to keep quiet about Jesus, to be ashamed of Jesus. Back in 2003, when Tony Blair was Prime Minister, he was interviewed in television, and the interviewer began at one point questioning him about religion. And Blair's press secretary, Alistair Campbell, quickly stepped in, and he famously said, "We don't do God." Well, we know Tony Blair is very religious. We know that now. But he was ashamed in public. He was afraid of his reputation. It's not so many years ago now, I think about 10 or 15 years ago, Radio WM, West Midlands Radio, interviewed a pastor from a Birmingham church, and just before they went on air, they told him he was not to mention the name Jesus, because that wouldn't do their audience numbers any good. John Stott has summed this up. John Stott said, "Either we are unfaithful in order to be popular, or we are willing to be unpopular in our determination to be faithful. I very much doubt if it is possible to be faithful and popular at the same time. I fear we must choose." That's what John Stott said. So why would I be ashamed of Jesus? Because I'm afraid of rejection. Because I'm afraid of derision. Until quite recently, maybe 40 years or so ago, certainly in my lifetime, I can remember, being a Christian was an advantage in our society. Being a Christian was respectable. It was respected. It was accepted. Well, things are changing, aren't they? Things are quickly changing. Now people look at those who call themselves Christians and are serious about it. They look at them and they think they're a bit peculiar. Just a bit weird. Maybe naive. Maybe dangerous, especially these radical evangelical Christians. Because the world doesn't like the different. The world doesn't like the different. We can see that in our language. In ancient times, if you were left-handed, you were looked on with suspicion because you were different. That's where our word sinister comes from. It's a Latin word for left. Something worrying about being different, something sinister. But Christians are different. Get used to it. We're different. It's part and parcel of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a Christian isn't an advantage in society. It's a disadvantage most of the time in most parts of the world, and increasingly so in Britain. Why would I be ashamed of Jesus? Well, because I'm afraid. Afraid I might be disadvantaged in my place of work. Afraid I might be laughed at by my non-Christian friends or colleagues or neighbours. Afraid I might be unpopular. Why stick my head above the parapet? It's really difficult not to care what other people think about it. Think about us, isn't it? Their opinions matter to us. In November 1996, there was a man in South Africa who was so concerned about what people really thought about him that he staged his own death, and at his funeral he lay in his coffin and listened to all the tributes being paid to him. And at the end of the service he sat up, which must have caused a bit of alarm, I think. He sat up and he pronounced himself satisfied. That couldn't be more different from what Jesus is saying here. Look at verse 23, which was read to us. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Deny himself or herself. Literally, it means contradict yourself. Go against your own desires. Go against your inclinations and instincts. Deny your own interests. Now, that's what Jesus did supremely, isn't it? Jesus went to the cross for us. That was the ultimate denial of self. And Jesus wasn't ashamed of us, despite all our sinfulness. We read in Hebrews, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. So when we read verse 23 here, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me," we need to just think what that means. In that culture, carrying your cross to the place of execution was a one-way journey, wasn't it? There was no way back from that. You were leaving everything behind. What does that mean for us? Well, for us, taking up our cross means a public confession of Jesus and his teaching, whatever that turns out to mean, wherever that leads us, however much that costs us. No going back on that. Being ashamed of Jesus ultimately means rejecting Jesus. So Christians shouldn't be fitting in society. Christians should be standing out. Why would I be ashamed of Jesus? Well, because I'm afraid. That's the experience of every Christian in some form or other, I think, at some time or other. And Jesus understands. Jesus understands that. Jesus comes alongside us. How often as you read through the Gospels, I haven't counted, but it's so many times, you hear Jesus saying to his disciples in some situation or other, "Do not be afraid. This happens, they have this threat, there's this danger, people resent them, people are against them." Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid." But there's another reason why I might be ashamed of Jesus. It's because of my unbelief, potentially. It's when our Christian faith costs us something that it's tested and shown to be genuine. Or not, perhaps. It's easy to be a Christian when that just means coming to church and singing songs and listen to the Bible being taught. It's when people laugh. It's when we find ourselves ostracized because we're Christians. It's when real persecution comes. That's when the reality of our faith is proved. What did James say in his letter? He said, "Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds." Why? Well, he goes on to say that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, makes you mature, makes you complete. Consider it pure joy because that grows Christian character and demonstrates to us the reality of our faith. If you don't really believe, I mean really deep down in your heart of hearts believe in life after death and heaven and hell, then you're going to live for the present, aren't you? You're going to do what makes you happy now. Of course you are. There's all the difference in the world between believing in Jesus and being afraid of what the world might do to you because of that, and not really believing in Jesus at all. And that's what Jesus is talking about in verse 26. If anyone is ashamed of me, it's the shame that betrays unbelief. I thought I was a Christian, I assumed I was a Christian, until it became embarrassing to be a Christian. Until it became difficult to be a Christian. Until it became dangerous to be a Christian. And then I found out that I really wasn't committed to Jesus after all. The American author Ernest Hemingway said this about the person who was a close shave with death. He said, "The trial won't make him, the trial won't break him, the trial will reveal him." And the same is true for our Christian faith. It's when a crisis comes, it's when a trial comes, it's when we're put on the spot that the reality of our faith is really tested. If my faith is real, when the crunch comes, I'm going to take a stand on it and take the consequences. Now, maybe we think about that and we say to ourselves, well, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I'm strong enough for that. But the Holy Spirit in us equips us. The Holy Spirit, He gives us courage. He gives us words to say. But if I'm put in the spot and I say I have nothing to do with Jesus, I don't know Jesus, like Peter in the courtyard, I know nothing about him, nothing to do with me, that's much more serious. That's what Jesus calls elsewhere disowning him. It's not unforgivable to say that, but if that's how we live, if that's our way of life, if we're habitually ashamed of Jesus, if we go on saying we have nothing to do with him, then that finally proves, finally, that we don't actually belong to Jesus at all. And that's the terrible situation Jesus describes in this verse, isn't it? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. The day that should be the delight, the fulfillment of every believer, the day Jesus returns, turns out to be a disaster for the person Jesus is ashamed of. Why would Jesus be ashamed of me? Well, not because I'm afraid. He'll say, "Do not be afraid." He'll say, "I'm with you." No, because of my unbelief, because I don't actually belong to him. It's a very disturbing saying, isn't it? Are you disturbed by this verse? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. What should we do? If we find this verse alarming, what should we do? Well, I think the verse contains the solution, doesn't it? If anyone is ashamed of me, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus and his teaching. Don't disown Jesus. Don't try and be a private Christian, a secret Christian, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. Don't walk 10 yards behind Jesus. It'll cost you something in the here and now to profess faith in Jesus. It won't make you universally popular. Jesus said, "They hated me, they will hate you also." The 17th century pastor Samuel Rutherford said, "You will not get to steal quietly to heaven in Christ's company without a conflict and a cross." Being a Christian and saying you're a Christian in a hostile world costs something. At the end of the day, it depends whose opinion matters to you. Jesus' opinion or the world's opinion. I read about an accomplished young pianist making his concert debut in Carnegie Hall in New York. And his playing was magnificent. And he finished the concerto and he walked off the stage and the audience erupted in cheers. And the stage manager behind the curtains urged the young virtuoso to go out for an encore. But the young man refused. And the stage manager said, "Look out through the curtains, they love you. Go out and take an encore." And the pianist answered him, do you see the one old man in the balcony over there on the left? And the stage manager peered out and he said, yes, he did see him. And the pianist said, that man is seated. I will not give an encore till he stands and cheers. And the stage manager became a bit exasperated with him, and he said, only one man is not standing, and you won't take an encore? And the pianist said, that old man is my piano teacher. Only when he stands will I go and take an encore. That young man was playing for an audience of one. So the question I want to ask you and ask myself is, which audience are we playing for? Which audience are we playing to? Are we playing for the world? Are we living our lives for what the world thinks? Or are we playing for Jesus, the audience of one? Is that whose opinion matters to us? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, Jesus said, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Back in the 18th century, a man called Joseph Griggs wrote a hymn with these lines in it. I'll finish with this. He wrote, Jesus, and shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Ashamed of Jesus, empty pride, I'll boast a Saviour crucified. And oh, may this my portion be, my Saviour not ashamed of me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we are so taken up with what the world thinks of us that it makes us ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us to be living our lives for an audience of one, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to treasure, look forward to and treasure the Lord Jesus' words, well done, good and faithful servant. And to do everything in our power to ensure that Jesus is not ashamed of us by declaring his name now. Father, help us not to fear men, but to fear you in the right way, and to live our lives ready and willing and quick to declare whose we are and whom we seek to serve, and to take the consequences, whatever that turns out to mean, because our eyes are fixed on that day when we shall see the Lord Jesus face to face and hear his words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.